it. Inside Sports Medicine with Dr. Tio Soriel, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Dr. Soriel's comments are meant for informational and educational purposes only, and not as a treatment. His comments are not a substitute for a visit with your doctor. And now, Dr. Tio Soriel.
Doctor?
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. That was a soundbite from an old movie with Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd. This younger generation has no idea what I just said. The movie is called Spies Like Us.
That movie is pure greatness.
It is pure greatness. And
I think I might stream that tonight. I'm in the mood.
Yeah. Anyway, and so it was referenced on our Facebook by one of our avid fans, doctors introducing themselves, and I just thought it was a clever thing to play. So during the break, we have our best conversation. In fact, I'm peeling the curtain back. Our pre-production meeting actually happened after we came on the air. So, not sure exactly what to call it. If it's not pre-production, maybe post-air. So we've decided we're going to talk about a couple of things, but we didn't make that decision until after we came on the air.
It's called spontaneity.
Yeah. So we've talked for a while trying to educate folks on this relatively new concept called tendinosis. And everybody's familiar with tendinitis. Tendinitis is inflammation of a tendon. I was just telling this story yesterday to one of my patients. She was telling me, why do I need anti-inflammatories for arthritis? And I said, well, because it ends in itis. And she laughed, and she didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I said, anything that ends in itis, appendicitis, pharyngitis, tendinitis, is an inflammation of. So a bursitis is inflammation of a bursa. And that's why we use anti-inflammatories, and that's why they usually work. So that was the story for decades until we developed a fancy machine called the MRI, the magnetic resonance imaging. The scanner now picked up a condition that we didn't really know much about, and it was a degenerative condition of a tendon, and we called it tendinosis. Well, the guys were talking during the break that they heard a reporter reference the term by saying that Anthony Davis is coming back from Achilles tendinosis. And amongst ourselves, we're kind of nerdy. We all kind of high-fived that, wow, all right, it is now becoming part of the normal nomenclature. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. I mean, because they are very different. They're treated very different. As similar as they sound, they're treated very different. And so, I mean, it's the reason why AD is taking so long to come back, why Anthony Davis is taking so long to come back. You know, tendinitis, like you mentioned, is endonitis, so we try to treat it with anti-inflammatories, whereas tendinosis is a little more of a long-term process because of the makeup of the tendon is now different. And so it's just going to take a little bit longer. But for someone to actually, you know, say that on air and know the difference, for us, we're like, oh, wow, they said it, because they never say it. They usually just refer to it as tendinitis, and that's it.
So what's the treatment for tendinosis?
Let's be clear. My guess is the reporter had no idea what they were saying, but they were told it was tendinosis, so they reported it, but they didn't know. They didn't know, but it was good to just at least put that terminology out there so people can, you know, have a little bit better understanding of what's going on.
Well, the fact of the matter, and you're spot on, the fact of the matter is that there are people still in the medical community that don't know what tendinosis is. Scott just a second ago said, you know, how do we treat it?
Yeah, I mean, I understand tendinitis. It's an inflammation. You take anti-inflammatories. You rest the structure so that the inflammatory cycle can stop. Tendinosis, like you said, is a structural change.
It's a degenerative condition of the tendon itself, where some of the fibers actually are disrupted.
Right. So there really is, I mean, except for experimental stuff like stem cells and such, there's really not a treatment for it. It just is.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Yeah. It's there is treatment for that now. Because
PRP and stem cells and stuff like that, but...
You're exactly. So Mayer and Ballard, they do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it in Achilles tendinosis. I'm trying to remember. I don't even think I should say the player's name, but we've had several players from around the league fly in, and this might have been almost a decade ago, and I was doing PRP and Achilles tendinosis and patellar tendinosis before it was really kind of a thing, and it is now the treatment. I mean, Achilles tendinosis, if I'm not mistaken, is what ended Larry Bird's career. It wasn't his back.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't his back. He had all kinds of back issues, but it was the tendinosis. I think he ended up having to have some kind of a debridement procedure on his Achilles and just never came back from that. But tendinosis has been around for years and years and years and years, but we're just now getting to the point of having some treatment options.
So where's the pain come from in tendinosis? Why does it hurt?
I don't know.
Well, I have a question because, you know, let me give the little kind of sciencey part behind it where there's some theories there.
Encyclopedia, take over.
So tendinosis, right? Ballard and I do a lot of this ultrasound stuff, and you see the micro hypervascularity, the blood vessels, right? You see that disorganization. There's some thoughts that you're having nerves through those areas. Where you're growing new blood vessels, and what do we see in surgery all the time? Vessels, and what travels next to vessels? Nerves. And so the theory is that that's where some of the pain is coming from, this new vessel formation that we see all the time. So
around the tendinosis.
Around or within
the tendinosis.
I always think of tendinosis as being, like you said,
poor blood supply.
Disrupted, degenerative fibers that don't have a blood supply, because that's why they're degenerative. Don't. They can't heal themselves because they don't have a blood supply.
Yes, but it's a struggle for the body to try and heal it, because we see this all the time on ultrasounds where you put the vascular, the probe on it. You'll see this disorganization of vascular around it. So the body is trying to heal, but it just can't. So I tell patients that, like, you know, when they ask the question to me, what's the difference between both of those? If you cut a tendon open and you have tendinitis, it still looks like a normal tendon. But if you cut a tendon open that has tendinosis, it looks gray, it looks terrible. Because when I operate on it all the time, I mean, you can tell. You know, when I'll debride a tendinosis, no matter if it's in someone's elbow, their knee, their quad tendon, it doesn't matter. You know, when you take the knife blade or whatever you're using, you can just rip out tendinosis. It's like the fat part of the steak. It comes right out.
Encyclopedia. Can tendinitis turn into tendinosis?
No. Oh, you're asking him or me?
I don't. Anybody. So.
No, a tendinitis is. And then the other way I explain it is, it's a tendinitis is really more inflammation around the tendon,
exactly.
Around the sheath, fluid around
it's
the
peritenon.
It's a tenosynovitis. Yeah. It's a tenosynovitis.
Exactly.
So it isn't with. So then why do tend? So then why is tendinitis, if it's in the sheath around it, a precursor for a rupture?
It's not.
Okay.
Tendinosis is the precursor for rupture.
Tendinosis is a precursor.
Oh, you're rocking my world here.
I can't believe we're having this discussion right after we talked about McGriddles.
No, this is that's the beauty of this show. You know, we go from intense to lighter.
I mean, we're sitting here talking about cutting a tendon open, and a second ago we were talking about Uber Eats.
It's clear on ultrasound. I mean, you can see, and part of what Mayer is talking about is that what they call neovascularization within the tendon.
Exactly.
And it's just it's a disorganized attempt at the body to try to create some vascularity within a tendon, but it just doesn't work. So part of the reason why we needle the tendon, part of the reason why we try to, you know, create we almost try to disrupt the tendon and almost kind of create new injury so that the body can try to attempt to heal the appropriate way with the right products around it.
And create vascular channels and put in growth factors. And yeah, look, this is
so the classic story of a 40-ish year old guy who I thought had Achilles tendonitis, kept playing tennis or basketball, and pop. They're not really having Achilles tendonitis. They're having Achilles tendinosis.
Yes.
Well, you can have both, right? So I can speak to this because I've got it.
Okay.
So here's the deal. I've got tendinosis, which is long-term degenerative,
mileage.
Mileage on my tendon. But after I play basketball, it's inflamed. So you can have inflammation around a tendinotic tendon. And so when I take anti-inflammatories, it helps with the tendinitis part, but it doesn't take away the tendinosis. Does that make sense? Everybody follow that?
Yeah, so it's structural change.
You can have acute inflammation on top of a chronically degenerative tendon still. So you can still do that.
But a point of clarification, and this is something that you said a little earlier, there are two different conditions. You know, Mayer's spot on in that, when we talk about Achilles tendonitis or even patellar tendonitis, it's inflammation around the tendon. And so it's structurally sound.
So you ultrasound the tendon or MRI it and the tendon's normal?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's structurally
correct.
Sound, whereas tendinosis, it is structurally unsound, which is I saw a firefighter on Thursday, avid bodybuilder, avid weightlifter. All these guys, you know, when they're in the firehouse, they work out. They work out all the time. Well, he does a ton of squats. He's been doing squats for 15 years. And he jumps out of the fire truck with all his gear on, and he feels a pop in the front of his knee. And ever since then, he's had pain. Okay. So he's got an MRI. He's been worked up. It takes him a month for them to figure out to send him somewhere. And he's got a tendinopathy / tendinosis partial tear. It's all semantics. It's the same thing. Of his proximal patellar tendon, runner's knee, jumper's knee, call it what you want to call it. But at the end of the day, he's got a partial tear. And I was explaining to him that typically healthy tendons don't tear. It's the mileage that you put on for all of these years of squats and marathons and hikes up the mountain that predispose you to that one incident when you're jumping out of the back of the pickup truck and something pops. So, you know, in Ballard's case, and when he ruptured his Achilles, it wasn't a healthy tendon to begin with. It had a ton of miles on it.
Okay.
And that made the repair kind of difficult, but nonetheless, typically, I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, healthy tendons don't tear.
Fair.
Fair?
Fair.
All right, quick little break.
Good segment.
quick little break. Inside Sports Medicine, we still have to address this tone that I sensed in the first segment between whey and creatine. We got to get into that. Coming right back on Inside Sports Medicine on the Ticket.